Telemachus paused, then answered, I cannot fault your anger at all this. My heart takes note of everything, feels it too, both the good and the bad. The boy you knew is gone. But how can I plan my world in a sane, thoughtful way? These men drive me mad, hedging me round, right and left, plotting their lethal plots, and no one takes my side. Still, this battle between the stranger and Iris hardly went as the suitors might have hoped. The stranger beat him down. If only Father Zeus, Athena, and Lord Apollo, these gallants now, this moment, here in our house, were battered, senseless, heads lolling, knees unstrung, some sprawled in the courtyard, some sprawled outside, slumped like Iris, down at the front gates now, whipped and his head rolling like some drunk. He can't stand up on his feet and stagger home, whatever home he's got. The man's demolished. So Penelope and her son exchanged their hopes, as Eurymachus stepped in to praise the queen. Ah, daughter of Icarius, wise Penelope, if all the princes in Ionian Argos saw you now, what a troop of suitors would banquet in your halls tomorrow at sunrise. You surpass all women in build and beauty, refined and steady mind. Oh no, Eurymachus, wise Penelope demurred. Whatever form and feature I had, what praise I'd won, the deathless gods destroyed. That day the Achaeans sailed away to Troy, my husband in their ships. Odysseus, if he could return to tend my life, the renown I had would only grow in glory. Now my life is torment. Look at the griefs some god has loosed against me. I'll never forget the day he left this land of ours. He caught my right hand by the wrist and said gently, Dear woman, I doubt that every Achaean under arms will make it home from Troy, all safe and sound. The Trojans, they say, are fine soldiers too, hurling javelins, shooting flights of arrows, charioteers who can turn the tide like that. When the great leveler war brings on some deadlock, so I cannot tell if the gods will sail me home again. Or I'll go down out there on the fields of Troy, but all things here must rest in your control. Watch over my father and mother in the palace, just as now, or perhaps a little more, when I am far from home. But once you see the beard on the boy's cheek, you wed the man you like and leave your house behind. So my husband advised me then. Now it all comes true, a night will come when a hateful marriage falls my lot, this cursed life of mine. Zeus has torn away my joy. But there's something else that mortifies me now. Your way is a far cry from the time-honored way of suitors locked in rivalry, striving to win some noble woman, a wealthy man's daughter. They bring in their own calves and lambs to feast the friends of the bride-to-be, yes, and shower her with gleaming gifts as well. They don't devour the woman's goods scot-free. Staunch Odysseus glowed with joy to hear all this, his wife's trickery luring gifts from her suitors now, enchanting their hearts with suave, seductive words, but all the while with something else in mind. Gifts? Eupeithes' son Antinous took her point at once. Daughter of Icarius, sensible Penelope, whatever gifts your suitors would like to bring, accept them. How ungracious to turn those gifts away. We won't go back to our own estates or anywhere else till you have wed the man you find the best. So he proposed, and all the rest agreed. Each suitor sent a page to go and get a gift. Antinous's man brought in a grand resplendent robe, stiff with embroidery, clasped with 12 gold brooches, long pins that clipped into sheathing loops with ease. Eurymachus's man brought in a necklace, richly wrought, gilded, strung with amber and glowing like the sun. Eurydamas's two men came with a pair of earrings, mulberry clusters dangling in triple drops, with a